Good morning yet again. Fourth and last morning that we're going to be having worship together. It's gone really fast. It's been really exciting to see what God has had for us this week. You know, the Lord is coming. Get ready. That was kind of the theme. And then there was a text that was kind of to give some direction as well. Above all, put on love. It's really worked well together. The Lord is coming. Get ready. God is getting us ready, and He's as He reveals Himself to us. It's important for us to be able to see God, right? But especially whenever we have a serious trial, this is when we have the opportunity to exercise the faith. In other words, He shows us how good He is, and when we believe that, that's the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, right? But it's this time when there's a serious trial that faith is exercised, that is when our characters are actually developed the most. Those are the times when God is teaching us, isn't that crucible, right? When that heat is on. So facing the giants in Christ is actually getting us ready. We're going to talk today about facing some giants and going a little bit deeper into an interesting formula that David found to work pretty well. So let's just open with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for being here with us this morning. Pray that you again guide our thoughts and our hearts so that the vision that you have for each of us would not be lost sight of. That, therefore, you'd be able to keep this not only going, but also growing. Thank you, Lord, for joining us here by the agency of your Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We can have you here with us today, and we thank you so much for that infinite privilege. Amen. Continuing the same idea, dread not, neither be afraid, taken from Deuteronomy 1:29. But we're going to be passing over, well, first we're going to do a little review, passing over the Jordan into Palestine to see how somebody else deals with giants. You know, the Israelites, the first time they came up to the border of Canaan, they were just stricken with fear when they saw the giants. And so they ran the other direction, essentially. This morning, we're going to see how David deals with it. But let's have a little bit of review. So the first day, we saw God has a plan. And we've been praying to see what God's vision is. Now, God has kind of an umbrella vision, a corporate vision. And that has to do with going up and possessing the land, because we are on the borders of the heavenly Canaan. But in addition to that, there is where we fit into that plan. And so he is also wanting to give each of us that specific play-by-play vision as well. So continuing to pray for that. The second day we talked about, the second, third days, yesterday and the day before, in other words, we talked about loyalty to God first and foremost. And just a couple of things to jog your memory there. Alexander the Great, Pharaoh, and how they were able to conquer so many things in the world, but they couldn't guide their own hearts. They couldn't subdue themselves. And then we saw how the moral law, God set up the moral law. First, it was our relationship with God. Then, our relationship with our fellow man. First, it's vertical. Then, it's horizontal. If we flip that upside down, how we're going to have problems with everything. The disciples said, we're going to obey God rather than men, right? Yesterday, we continued that same trend and talked about being individual thinkers and having victory over social pressure. Let's just see that quote again from page 18, paragraph 1. Every human being created in the image of God is endowed with power akin to that of the Creator, individuality, power to think and to do. The men in whom this power is developed are the men who bear responsibilities, who are leaders in enterprise, and who influence character. It is the work of true education to develop this power, to train the youth to be thinkers and not mere reflectors of other men's thought. Let them contemplate the great facts of duty and destiny, and the mind will expand and strengthen. Power akin to the Creator, individuality, the power to think and to do. This individual vision, I'm really praying for you guys to take that seriously and going in and praying, God, what do you have for me in the overall picture of going up, possessing Canaan this time? We're not going to miss it this time. Either you're going to be on board or not. I have a serious conviction that it's going through this time. You know, here at Highland, I think that you guys, actually, I really have gotten the sense you guys have kind of a higher experience. Obviously, all the credit to that would go to God, but I've been really impressed with you guys this week. And I'm really serious when I say that I believe that God has a plan for you guys as a group and individually, which would make up the powerful group, if that makes sense. So as you remember, she said, what could possibly be more important than that? What could possibly be more important? So we know that God has a plan, and we've talked this week about keeping our loyalties first and foremost to God. So now we're going to go across the Jordan into Palestine to learn from someone that developed a foolproof system of dealing with giants. Lessons from David facing the giants. So the setting, David was tending to the sheep. His father asked him to take some food to his three brothers who had joined in battle against the Philistines. When he arrived, he soon learned that the entire army is being held up because of fear of a threatening giant. The situation confuses David because Israel supposedly has the living God on their side. And so he ends up speaking to Saul himself. 1 Samuel 17:32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of this giant. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Was David afraid? No. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't distracted with the giants. He had his sights higher than the giants. He had a personal relationship with the Lord that he had developed while tending the sheep. Just a question for the youth here. He says, you're not able to go up because you're a youth. Should you give up because you are a youth? Because the giants can be big out there, and they're especially going after the youth. Should you give up? That's what Saul was saying. Look, don't even think about it. Retreat. Let's see how David answers. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Good luck. Have a lot of fun out there. I'm going to stay back here by the tent, by the way, because I like it over here. So David gave all the credit to God for his previous successes. You notice that? He gave Saul the idea that this wasn't his first rodeo, as it were, in Tennessee, but that the success that he had gotten along his experience was all the credit went to God. Now, that's very important given the situation. He didn't just say, okay, I killed the bear, so therefore I can take on a seasoned warrior, right? For example, that would be like saying, hey, in weightlifting class the other day, I lifted 135, so I should be able to lift 235 no problem. Right? Because that's like 100 pounds more. So being able to lift 135 is no evidence that you can lift 235. So that's not what David was saying. Instead, he said, look, the same one who made me lift 135, which I couldn't lift, is going to make me lift 235, which I neither can lift. What was the principle? Yesterday I asked that question, someone said, Chad. The principle here is that God gave the victory. That's a principle. And so that can carry over. God gave the victory, and he's going to give the victory. This is a lesson to us of how giants are dealt with. So listen carefully, because we're going to see a little bit more of how David is going to deal with his trial, with his challenge. 1 Samuel 17:40, continuing, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So he's going straight up towards the Philistine. He wasn't trying to hide in some bush and trying to trip up the giant from behind or something like that. He was going straight up. Spiritually, of course, that would be going straight to Christ. So his issue was the giant. You see that he's going straight towards the giant. So we're not supposed to go straight towards our issues without Christ. And you'll see why in a minute here we'll bring that out. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. In other words, you could tell that he hadn't been in very many battles. He was just like a boy, you know. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So the giant is pursuing David. You can see what he's saying. You are so small and so young and so inexperienced. You're making a fool out of me. The giant was furious. But how does David respond? And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear. He says, you're coming to me like on the horizontal here. You're coming to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Amen. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So I hope that as we're kind of getting a better picture of our vision, our corporate vision, and our individual visions, keep this in mind. Coming to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. So David is not afraid. Why? Because he's coming in the name of the Lord. We're not supposed to face these giants alone. When God wants us to go through something, he doesn't expect us to go on our own name or on our own strength. Goliath, the giant, was so proud of his 6 fingers and his size and his shield. But David said, I'm not scared of you because I'm coming in the name of the Lord. We want to know the name of the Lord so that we can come in his name and not be afraid. Being scrawny, in contrast to the giant, David says, this day. David, man, he had an experience. This isn't just a fancy Bible story. This guy was huge, towering over top of David. And David's like, are you crazy? You're going to defy God? You must not be thinking straight. That's some serious faith. That's an experience. He's completely unfazed. It's not even like, you know, you have Jesus in Gethsemane when he's shaking and having the serious trial. And then you have Jesus before Pilate. Like, not even the slightest trial, right? That experience had already been established. That's kind of how David is here. Not even a struggle at this time, he had the experience. This day, today, the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. So, you know, nothing's happened yet, except for they walked towards each other a little bit, okay? And now they have a little chat, and Goliath says that he's going to feed David to everything, you know, the beasts of the field and whatnot. It says how he's going to destroy David, and now David's going to tell him for a minute how it's going to go. So he says, today will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. That's some audacity. And take thy head from thee, and I will... That's how we're supposed to respond whenever... See, a lot of times we have a trial that comes up, and we're like, man, I'm tired of that trial. You know? It's like, been fighting that trial for so long. It's not quite the attitude that's going to deal with our enemy. Because he's not going to give up. We have to have some initiative. We have to be a little bit decisive. I'm going to take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth, and this is the motivation behind it. There's got to be a reason for what we're doing here. This is also a part that you can add to your vision. That all the earth might know that there's a God. So Chad at the beginning was saying, remember who you are when you're out there. Why? Because it's vitally important to know what our mission is. That all the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. Not just so that all the earth can know that Highland's really cool academy. And they're nice, some nice kids over there. Okay? Because that could start to be like losing the focus. But that all the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. We serve the God that created the whole entire universe and this earth and this brought this whole academy program and everything together. David wanted all the earth to know that there's a God in Israel. This is why David is not afraid. I have another study and it says, are you ready? The answer is, if you don't know if you're ready, then first of all, you're not ready because you don't know. And then, how are you going to get ready to recognize what your mission is? And that is not just trying to stay alive around here, but that is in everything that the world might know that there is a God. If you read through Ezekiel, it says, I don't know, maybe 50 times, no matter what happens, the catchphrase is that the world might know that there's a God in Israel. Something amazing happens, that the world might know that there's a God in Israel. Something really bad happens when they separated from God, that the world might know that there is a God in Israel. No matter what it is, this needs to be our focus. And then you will be ready. Someone will come and try to knock you down. Like, who do you think you are being so happy all the time? Must have some padded lifestyle back home or something, right? And they try to knock you down. And what are you thinking? This is a great opportunity for them to see that I'm not going by my own strength. And then they're going to know that there's a God in Israel. Anytime someone's trying to knock you down, that's your greatest opportunity for a message, a little sermon to them, not one that you speak with words. So we're seeing the formula of how we deal with the giants. You speak in the name of the Lord and you tell them how it goes, by faith, not just timidly going to Christ, by faith, powerfully. So God is making it very graphic for us today. David was not afraid, and therefore he was made king in Israel. What are we called to be? Are we called to be kings? Called to be kings and priests, aren't we? The only reason why he was made king, it wasn't because he was big, it wasn't because he was way smarter, it wasn't because he had better weapons or he came from the rich house. He had a connection with Christ. an actual connection with Christ, not the one who says, I'm a Christian, got a nice bumper sticker. But he had an actual connection with Christ. Therefore, he was not afraid. And the people wanted to rally behind that one. So, we're called to be kings and priests as well today. When we are no longer afraid, then it is that we're going to be ready to go up and possess the land. And that's what God is doing right now. Every time a giant comes, he's taking us through that training. He has a plan. David didn't waste any time. He went straight and dealt with his giant as quickly as possible. You may have an issue that keeps going on and on in your life. Maybe around and around in your mind. It's time to apply David's formula. How does that work? We must always remain in Christ. Remember, it's not just for our own benefit, but that all the world, in your case, might know that there is a God in Portland, Tennessee. I just want to invite you, everyone who would like to adopt this God-given formula to their own lives here today, to just stand with me as we pray. And we're just going to thank God for bringing us a vision and giving us the courage to choose Christ and to know that we're on the winning team as we go forward. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, again before you here this morning, we're thanking you for your infinite love above all, that we might have a connection with that love as David did, so that when the trials come, we recognize that they don't stand a chance, even if we have no idea how it's going to work out, that you are going to go before us, even as the rock went before David and took out that giant, and that giant crumbled before David. And so we thank you for doing that, giving each one of us here today that same experience. This is the example of experience that you really want for us. And this is the one that we have to have, because we're in serious times. And we're not going to go around a third time. Israel never went around a third time. It was only twice. And they went up the second time. And here we are on the borders the second time, Lord. And we believe that you're going to be taking us up. So we thank you for this experience. Be with again today with these kids. And as we're not going to meet tomorrow morning, just prepare us, Lord, for the Sabbath and the rest of the spiritual feasts that you do have for us as we continue. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us strong, keeping us faithful, even when for a little bit it doesn't feel like it, that we would go by your word. We pray these things. In your name, amen.